This is the Adams Road Podcast, an outreach of the Christian music ministry Adams Road. We study verse by verse through the Bible and share music filled with God's Word. Let's start today by listening through Acts chapter 20, verses 20 to 25. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to himself the elders of the assembly. When they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you all the time, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears, and with trials which happened to me by the plots of the Jews, how I didn't shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus. Now behold, I go bound by the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions wait for me. But these things don't count, nor do I hold my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to fully testify to the good news of the grace of God. Now behold, I know that you all, among whom I went about preaching God's kingdom, will see my face no more." Revisiting Acts 20, verse 20, quote, "How he didn't shrink from declaring to them anything that was profitable, teaching them publicly and from house to house, testifying both the Jews and the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus," end quote. Paul ministered with balance. He taught the entire counsel of God to both Jews and Greeks. He didn't make any distinction or show any favoritism. Whether Jew or Greek, Paul wanted the gospel to transform them to the glory of Christ. And he taught them anything that was profitable. I'm an enthusiast for teaching through Scripture verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book. This isn't to say topical studies shouldn't have a place in our approach to learning from God's Word. They're indeed useful, and the Holy Spirit may inspire a leader to hone in on a specific truth for the church in a given season. I just don't believe topical sermons and studies should be the primary way a shepherd feeds Christ's sheep. Like, there are areas of God's Word a leader will likely be more prone to explore than others. When I'm at a buffet, I gravitate towards certain dishes and avoid others. When I come back for seconds, I go straight back to my favorites. But on the other hand, when a leader consistently incorporates contextual verse-by-verse exposition into his teaching and preaching, nothing gets left out. There's balance. When we come across tough passages, we confront what they say, and we get them in context. We can't skip the portions of Scripture that are harder to swallow. We can't avoid the truths that confront our favorite sins and idols. Ever been to a church that seemed a bit out of balance in its teachings? Maybe every week was peaches and roses. Feel-good messages that never really confront sin, convict, or challenge in any meaningful or applicable way. Or maybe you've experienced the other extreme, in which every time you walked into the church service, you felt like you went in for a pounding. It was all law and no grace. The teaching was constantly focused on your sin, how you never measure up and deserve hell, how you need to be better and do more. But no focus on Jesus, no focus on grace and forgiveness, on the cross, on God's love, kindness, mercy, and patience. No encouragement and empowerment through the gospel towards lives of holiness. There was not only balance in what Paul taught, but how and where he taught. He proclaimed the truth publicly, often before many people, but he also went from house to house and met with families, with individuals. He ministered to the church corporately, but also discipled others one-on-one. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." To emulate Jesus as a shepherd means to know the sheep relationally. Jesus calls us by name, How many overseers in churches today know their congregants by name? Know details about what's going on in their congregants' lives? Are so relationally invested into their lives, they hang out with them? Visit in people's homes? Paul mentions how he testified both the Jews and the Greeks' repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus. He no doubt challenged people where they were, proclaiming to them repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus. We've seen him throughout the book of Acts confront the culture and people regarding their sins and idols and expose the futility and danger of those things. We've also seen him direct people to the hope and life found in God through Christ. All right, let's keep reading from Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 22. Now behold, I go bound by the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions wait for me. But these things don't count, nor do I hold my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to fully testify to the good news of the grace of God. Paul walked by faith and not by sight. He didn't know what would happen to him in Jerusalem, but was determined in his spirit to go regardless, according to the convictions he had, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus no matter the cost. He valued and pursued the things of God over his own comfort. There was nothing about his life he held dear, other than the call he had from Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. What a heart! Imagine being so detached from the things of this world, from personal ambitions, from a location, that Christ's call would have the preeminence wherever he led, and whatever the cost. This was Paul. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him." For Paul, Jesus was enough. Is Jesus enough for us? Can we honestly say that we don't account our lives of any value, nor as precious to ourselves, if only we may finish our course? What's your race look like? What are the good works God has prepared beforehand for you to walk in? We all have a race to run. Many aspects of this race we share in common with other believers, but some aspects of the race are individualized, specific to us and our unique call from Christ. If we're in relationship with Jesus through prayer and his word, with God's Spirit living in us, we can start to discern what finishing our race should look like, what faithfulness to Jesus and his call for us entails. Paul puts it this way in Romans 12, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul had taken up his own cross, his face set towards Jerusalem. He was determined to go there, and apparently confident in his discernment that this was God's will for him. It was good and acceptable and perfect. Paul had been warned many times through other believers, and by the Holy Spirit, that imprisonment and afflictions awaited him. This didn't faze him. Paul knew that to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If his unashamed witness of Jesus in Jerusalem would cost him his life, so be it. He knew that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He didn't fear people. He didn't appear to fear death itself. He feared and loved God. He knew he already had the victory in Christ. When we face our own road to Jerusalem, so to speak, are we at peace with it? Can anything throw us off course? Do we embrace it or do we cower from it? Paul had a race to run. He said, "Nor do I hold my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy." and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to fully testify to the good news of the grace of God. He ran this race with abandonment. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way, "Therefore, let's also, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let's run with perseverance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross." What weights and sins hinder us in our push towards the high calling in Christ? What lusts, desires, temptations would get in our way and prevent us from finishing the race set before us? Do we value Jesus above everything else? Paul ran his race with abandonment. Jesus was his first love. He wanted these Ephesian elders to share in that same spirit. Jesus would eventually have a rebuke for the church in Ephesus in Revelation. He said, "I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." To keep Jesus first, the race must be run with abandonment. Paul ran his race not counting his life of any value, only that he might finish the course in the ministry that he received from Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Let's not dread, despise, or fear our own course to Jerusalem. Let's run our race with joy, like Jesus did his and like Paul, who followed in Jesus' footsteps, did his.
You first love. I know that when I die, your perfect love will give me life. Father, please take me home to be with you. You'll predestine us for adoption according to the purpose of your will, so that we might become your daughters and sons.
That was Abba, Father, from the Adams Road album Son of Man.
Don't war with the flesh, but with cosmic powers over this present darkness and evil forces up above. But we've already won through Christ who loved us more than conquerors. We are to run the race with the endurance, we are to run. The prize will be given, awaits us in the heavens, awaits us in the heavens. So we run, so we run. Prophets will be shown and lead people astray. The love of many will grow cold. If we endure, then we'll be saved. The world is gonna hate. We stand firm in our faith. For Jesus we race. We are to run the race with the all endurance. We are to run. The prize will be given. Awaits us in the heavens. Awaits us in the heavens.
We keep ourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy.
That was Run from the Adams Road album, Son of Man.
Thank you.
This is the Adams Road Podcast, an outreach of the Christian music ministry Adams Road. You can learn more about us at AdamsRoadMinistry.com. Again, that's AdamsRoadMinistry.com. We release a new podcast episode every Saturday. Join us next episode as we examine Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 25. Grace and peace be with you all.